Both Parshas Acharei Mos and Kedoshim, conclude with a list of arayos, a list of prohibited marital relationships. And there's a lot of interest as to the nuanced differences in the way these lists are presented. But each concludes as well by warning us that our adherence to these laws and to these instructions, but not just adhering to the specific laws of arayos, but in general, crafting a morally and ethically sound society, each of these is necessary to maintain our viability and sustainability in the land of Israel. Israel won't allow corrupt inhabitants. It's true in general that human behavior literally affects the land upon which humans live and humans' ability to retain that presence. We would think that inanimate land is in no way impacted by human behavior. But the Mabul teaches us otherwise, Vatishacheis Haaretz. The land itself begins to decay ecologically when humans aren't able to warrant their and justify their presence on land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world for human inhabitants, and when human inhabitants isn't exploited for the presence of Hashem and to be productive, then the land doesn't allow us and the land itself decays or decomposes. But it's even more true of life in Israel. And life in Israel, both for Jews and non-Jews. And here there's a bit of a difference between the pasuk that appears only in Kedoshim as opposed to a different description which appears both in Kedoshim and Acharei Mos. In the end of Kedoshim, the association between our behavior and our ability to live in Eretz Yisrael is described because we are selected and Hashem has expectations of us. And part of that selection is living in the land of Israel. That's, so to speak, Israel serves the, not the needs, but the mission and the goals of Jewish history and Jewish identity. We're chosen. We are chosen to represent Hashem in this world. We are chosen to broadcast Hashem's message. And it's only reasonable and logical that that broadcast should take place from ground zero. Israel's ground zero of human experience, that is where human beings were created. Hashem gathered and created man mitzion michlal yofi. Kadosh Baruch Hu created man from the Har HaBayis. So in our mission to represent Hashem in this world, we're meant to be in Hashem's backyard, which is also the origin of all anthropology. And of course, because it's Hashem's backyard, it's a supernaturally gifted land. It's a land of zavas chalav u'dvash. And this is the setting conveyed by the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. V'amar lachem, atem tishu et admasam. It's your land because you're chosen. V'adni etenena lachem l'reshes osa. What type of land is it? Eretz zavas chalav u'dvash. Ani Hashem elokichem asher hivdalti eschem min ha'amim. I have chosen you. I have differentiated you. Your laws are different. Not just your marital, sexual laws, but your dietary laws. V'hivdaltem bein ha-behima ha-tahara la-tameya, uvein ha-of ha-tameh la-tahar. As the pasuk concludes, Chol asher tirmos ha-adama shehivdalti lachem va-avdil eschem min ha-amim. So the entire setting towards the end of Kedoshim is pitched primarily on the fact that we're different, we're chosen. That chosenness has to express itself in our day-to-day experience, dietary laws, sexual behavior. Part of that chosenness is expressed in being gifted with this land, expecting to live in this land that Hashem has chosen as his land. And when we fail in our mission and our behavior deteriorates, then our entire warrant for being in Israel dissolves. So the overall environment of Kedoshim is Israel, so to speak, the land of Israel, serving the larger purposes of the Jewish people, having been chosen to select Hashem and to represent Hashem in this world. The tone in Parshas Acharemos, and keep in mind there's a pasuk in Kedoshim that also conveys that, but the overall tone in Acharemos is not about how Israel can serve Jews and Jewish mission. This center point in Parshas Acharemos is the land of Israel itself. And the land of Israel itself has a weak constitution. It can't admit, it can't tolerate moral corruption, sexual misbehavior, paganism. When these experiences occur, the land regurgitates its inhabitants. So it was with the prior inhabitants, the savage, barbaric, cannibalistic cultures that occupied the land prior to the Jewish people. They were regurgitated. And we are warned to modulate our behavior so that we can avoid a similar fate. So there are two differences between the way the end of Kedoshim presents moral behavior as a precondition to life in Israel and the way Acharemos presents moral behavior as a precondition. Number one, as I mentioned before, in Kedoshim, if we fail morally, then we lose our warrant to be Hashem's representatives and we have no license to be in the land of Israel. In Parshas Acharemos, however, Israel isn't serving the Jewish people. If anything, Israel has its own needs, and if we're able to provide those needs for the land of Israel, then we can remain. But if our presence is nauseating to the land of Israel, causes the land of Israel vertigo or regurgitation, then we are expelled to protect the experience, so to speak, and the constitution of Israel. In fact, a very famous medrash that Rashi quotes highlights this reordination of who's serving whom. Rashi says, Mashal lebet melech. It's like a prince who's very, very delicate. And that prince is fed something disgusting. It's harder for him to digest it. He doesn't have an iron stomach. He has to regurgitate it. Kach Eretz Yisrael, Einem Mekayemes Ovri Avera. Won't tolerate misbehavior. Won't tolerate moral degeneracy, sexual depravity. So it's not because we're chosen and Israel is our broadcast platform, and if we're not broadcasting properly, we forfeit the platform. It's our privilege to live in Israel. But that carries not just privileges and benefits, but responsibilities to honor the land and to protect its constitution and its health. There's a personification of the land of Israel. It's a ben melech. It has needs. Very, very interesting shift. Normally, we see Israel as our mother, and we are her children, and we are being beckoned by her, and she is, so to speak, facilitating us, enabling us, providing for us. Im habanim smicha. This pasuk, and certainly the way that Chazal expanded upon it, Rashi quotes the Sifra, personifies the land of Israel in a very different way and reminds us that it is a autonomous unit. It's Hashem's special terrain, and that imposes certain responsibilities beyond our responsibilities to Hashem's planet, which in and of themselves are significant. We have specific responsibilities morally to the land itself, and if we fail, just the land can't tolerate us. And because we forfeit any positioning as Hashem's chosen people, we just have failed in our duties to the land. It's a fascinating shift that we have duties to the land, not just duties to Hashem, which, if compromised, lead to a forfeiture of our rights to the land. The second difference, and again, keep in mind that in Kedoshim there is one pasuk about regurgitation, but it's not as dominant as that image is in Acharemos. The second difference is the actual experience of regurgitation. The Ibn Ezra points this out, notes this. that, I forget if they have an Ezra or it's the Ramban, but it's many, many Rishonim, that when a person vomits or regurgitates their food, then that food is disgusting. It's foul smelling. It's not just something which you have discharged, but it's something you want, no longer want a part of. And this is a very, very sad but accurate portrayal of what happened to the Jews when they left Israel. For 2,000 years, not only had we been expelled at the beginning of this 2,000-year period, but it was almost impossible for Jews to take root in the land of Israel. There were so many events that just precluded Jewish settlement in the land of Israel. There were always Jews in Israel proper, but keep in mind, the Ramban arrives in the 12th century, barely finds a minyan Yerushalayim. The land itself was cursed agriculturally. It wasn't fertile. Various waves of crusaders obviously made life in Yerushalayim and in Israel for Jews almost unbearable. We all know that to be an Ashkenazi Jew in the 18th century was simply illegal because of debts that had been run up in the early 18th century. Hostile foreign armies, of course, hostile local residents, which we're still struggling with. We really were vomited by Israel. We really were expelled in a way that really scarred our relationship with our land. It's not just a legal process where we're expelled, but now we can try to walk back in. And it took us 2,000 years to rebuild that relationship and to render ourselves more compatible and less nauseating, so to speak, with this land. And part of a siman that we're back and that this is redemptive is, thank God that millions of Jews are returning and that the land right now is more pliable and more amenable to Jewish entry after thousands of years of inhibiting or barring that type of entry. And that's what Parshas Acharemos conveys, that for thousands of years we really were despicable, contempted by the land, the same way that you would look at your own vomit and where you don't want nothing of it and you certainly don't want to ingest it again. And now we've turned from the despised people to our land, to the coveted children returning to our homeland. So those are two important differences conveyed by this image. Number one, we have duties to Israel, not just duties to Hashem, about which Israel is just a facilitator. And number two is that we really were contempted, and now, thank God, we're coveted.